Well, good morning, family. Welcome, Encounter. It's great to be with you this morning. Let's just give the Lord one big hand together this morning and praise Him together as a church family. It is true that in the world today, there are over 7,000 unreached people groups in the world representing billions of people who do not have access to the wonderful good news of Jesus Christ, not because they have rejected Him, but because they have never gotten to hear His name, displaying one of the great opportunities of our generation of Jesus followers. And here at Encounter, one of the things that we love, it's like one of our values, one of the things we love to do is to be engaged in our community and in our world. And a part of that is us wanting to have our heart beat for the world like God's heart beats for the world. And it's not an optional mission. It is called the Great Commission. It's not for only a few of us this morning. It's for all of us today. And so this morning, we're going to explore really what it means to have some vital actions in our life that help us to grow a global heart for reaching the nations, reaching the unreached around the world. As we celebrate Christ this morning, how we want to celebrate Him around the world around us, as we're asking a question, what if God were to use us in a greater way than He's using us right now to be a part of reaching the unreached around the world? And the first vital action that we see is that prayer is the power that prepares the way. And so I'm going to ask you to stand. I'm going to read a couple of verses on prayer this morning, and then we are going to pray as we ask the Lord, what if, Lord, this morning, how do You want me to be a part of growing in a global heart for the nations? It's great to see you all this morning. This is Matthew chapter 9, verse 38. It says, therefore, Encounter family, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into His harvest. And Acts chapter 1, verse 8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And Spirit, we welcome Your presence right now. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Would you pray with me? Father God, we thank You that we get to celebrate You today and the good news of Your Son and salvation through Him, Jesus Christ. Lord, we ask that You would grow us right now, that You'd grow us with a global heart for reaching the unreached and help us to better understand what that means, Lord, and better know how we can just live for You in that. And we thank You for this time. And as we talk about prayer, Lord, we ask You just to work, Lord, right now as we talk to You. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. Please be seated. You know, before we act, we pray. And when it comes to reaching the unreached, prayer is not like an add-on activity. It is a vital part of having a global heart for reaching the unreached. And if you are a praying person, praying for the nations, know that you have a vital part of what God is doing. It's part of how we actually align our hearts with God's heart for the nation, because prayer actually opens up spiritual doors and it encourages God's workers around the world. It prepares hearts to encounter Christ. And that statistic that was shared earlier might be a new idea for some of us in the room, that there are over 7,000 unreached people groups representing about 3.49 billion people alive in the world today, which is about 42% of the world's population. And an unreached people group is a new idea for a lot of us, so I thought I'd give you a definition. Here's a definition. An unreached people group is an identifiable, if your pastor could speak, I'd read it to you. Here we go. An unreached people group is an identifiable group of people distinguished by a distinct culture, language, or social class who lack a community of Christians able to evangelize or share Christ with the rest of the group without outside help. So where it's a group of people in the world where their only hope of hearing about Jesus is that someone else who will enter their culture and enter their language with the message of the hope of Jesus Christ. And so I want you to think about what this group of people represents in the world today. And so I want you to think of the unreached people of the world in terms of Dodger Stadium, okay? How many of you have been to Dodger Stadium? Let's see the hands out there. This is amazing. It was even more last service. That's awesome. All right, so some of you will really love this, all the Dodger fans out there, because if Dodger Stadium represented the world, it doesn't, by the way, but if it did, if Dodger Stadium represented the world, it holds 56,000 people, so the unreached people of the world in Dodger Stadium would represent 42,000 or 42% of those seats being empty. It's about 23,500 of the 56,000 seats in the stadium. And those seats would be empty not because the people weren't fans, not because they weren't committed to the team, not because they didn't have a Dodgers t-shirt or Dodger bobbleheads or anything like that, but because they had never heard of the game. They've never even heard the name of Jesus. Knowing him doesn't even exist in their mind. And if you've ever been to a full stadium for any sport, you know the energy in a stadium like that. And I want you to imagine what a stadium feels like when you have 42% of the people not there. And I think there's this element where God is wanting the need in the world for reaching the unreached around us to rattle around in our head and in our heart a little bit, and to ask, what if, Lord, you could use our prayers to help reach people around the world? Now, you'll notice there's two walls on either side of me, and there's a bunch of cards on those walls, and from a distance, those cards may actually look like a baseball card because there's a picture on there, and there's some statistics on there. But they are so much more than baseball cards. They actually have eternal significance because on these walls are 500 of the over 7,000 unreached people groups of the world. And in just a little bit, we are going to be asking you to pray for some of them in a special way. But let me give you an example of one of the cards on these walls. The Kunbi people of India, there are 18 million Kunbi people in the world right now. And of those 18 million, only 0.05 of 1%, so not 1%, but 0.05 of 1% of the Kunbi people know Jesus. And what we're going to be doing near the end of our worship time together is we're going to invite you to come up and grab one of these cards and use it as a prayer card for the next 30 days, where we're asking you to pray for whatever people group God matches you up with for the next 3 days. Now, obviously, you can pray for longer than 30 days if you want to, all right? But we're asking for 30 days. And if you're here this morning and you're still kind of figuring out what it means to know Jesus and to follow him and you're exploring your faith, first we want you to know, man, you're in the right place because we just love walking with people to understand who Jesus Christ is. But we want you to know, just have a freedom if you don't want to be a part of this activity, that you don't have to. You also may want to pray for one of these groups if you pray sometimes. You may want to grab one of these cards and be reminded that somewhere else in the world there's a whole group of people searching for meaning and answers just like you are, and yet they don't have the privilege of being able to walk into a church family and be around others who are learning about Jesus Christ with them. Because on these walls are these 500 of these over 7,000 unreached people groups, groups in various countries around the world, often multiple groups within the same country that share a language and a culture but have never heard the name of Jesus. And so right now what I want you to do in preparation for later in the service, I want you to do what I call a breath prayer, all right? And just tell the Lord, hey, Lord, I'm going to go grab one of those people group names, one of those cards later on in the service. Would you match my life with the lives of one of those people groups that you want me to be praying for intentionally for the next 30 days? And just let the Lord lead you. You know, I believe that we pray about the things that are important to us. Can I hear an amen? Amen. We do. We talk to God about the things that are important to us. I've been asking for prayer for our family, for my wife Amy and I and our daughter Jessica and her fiance Andy, because they're getting married this Saturday. Craziness. Amy's sitting over there in the room today. You know, it's here. We're so excited. We've been waiting for it. We're so excited for them. And just ask for your prayers as a family. I was driving to church on a Sunday a few months ago, and I pulled out on Victoria heading towards Ralston, and we live in North Oxnard. And on the way here, I don't know why, but I had just this picture flash through my mind of Jessica and Andy getting married, the ceremony. And as soon as that image hit my mind, I just started bawling. I mean, I just was weeping in my car by myself, but they weren't sad tears. They were like happy dad tears, just thinking about what God's doing in their life and how happy we are for them. And I really think in some ways, when it comes to praying for unreached people groups around the world, there's this part where God wants our heart to break for those in our life that we love, our families, our friends, our coworkers who are in need of Jesus. And God wants our hearts to break for these people out there who don't have family and friends that are wanting to reach them like we are wanting to reach our families and loved ones around us. And it's this God-given good ache that just fills us with the love of Christ and it gets poured back out on others as we pray for people. And so what if God were to use your prayers and having a global heart in reaching the nations, because prayer fuels the mission. It's not a side gig when it comes to vital activities in reaching the nations. It is one of the main activities that God calls us to, and God works through prayer. Last Sunday, we invited you to pray for baby Kaya. Those who were here, she was in the NICU for over 80 days at the time. I got a report from their family that last Sunday, later that day, was the first day in Kaya's young little life that she drank an entire bottle of milk. And she was able to come home with her family on Wednesday. So praise the Lord. And not only do we pray, but we also send. And what if God were to use us to not only pray, but to be sending others who have global hearts to reach the nations? Because sending is the support that sustains the mission. Sending is another vital action. And God invites all of us to have what the Bible calls gospel feet, beautiful feet, where we carry his good news into the lives of others. Romans 10:13 says, "For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in whom of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news." And we may not all go to one of the least reached areas of the world. We won't. But we can all help send others to those parts of the world. In fact, some of you are helping to do that now. You just don't know it. You really just don't know it. And this is how that's happening, because sending involves caring for those who are going to some of these least reached areas. Sending involves supporting them with encouragement and supporting them financially. And when you came in onto your seat, there was a little handout on there. It lists the 14 global partners that we are partnered with as a church family in areas all around the world, doing ministry around the world for us. And that pamphlet was put together by Shelley, who is our amazing global outreach director, sitting over here. Can we give her a big hand this morning? So thankful for her and for her team and the ministry that they are all doing. But all of our global partners, we support them with prayer. We support them with care. We support them financially. And there's 14 that we have. And so we have groups and ministries in our church that have adopted like one of those global partner families to encourage and pray for in an intentional way. And if you are part of a ministry or part of a small group and you don't have a global partner family that you're praying for, we would invite you to adopt one to intentionally just pray for and encourage and support, which is part of why sometimes on a Sunday morning, we'll have one of our global partners visiting us, and we'll give them a shout out. And you might be sitting there thinking, why are we shouting them out? There's like, you know, a whole hundreds of people in the room today. Why are we shouting them out? And well, the reason is because often they have traveled like thousands of miles to come visit us for one morning. And so we want to share part of their story of what God is doing in their lives. And one of the ways of us being sending people is to encourage and care for them when they're away and when they are home. And some of them live in areas of the world where when their car breaks down, there isn't a mechanic around the corner. Or they need to get a part for their vehicle and it's difficult to get. Or where if the government in the country that they are in knew of the ministry that they were doing to share Christ, they could come under threat of the government, or where there's civil unrest or civil wars going on politically around them. Some of them don't see their extended family but once every couple years because of the cost and the distance of getting from where they're serving the Lord to getting back home to the Ventura region or wherever it is that they are from. And many of them are in a culture and serving in a language that they didn't grow up in. And so we, as a church family, want to partner with them and encourage them and support them as part of our church family. And we actually have a team of people here at Encounter. Just this incredible group of people. They open up their homes whenever one of our global partners is in the area. They loan their vehicles out. They open up their pantry. And so if you are one of those people in our church, we just want to say a huge thank you to you. And one of the ways you can respond this morning on that little response card that's in the folder that you as you came in is maybe you want to be someone that's a part of that team and are willing to open up your home or loan out a vehicle when someone is in the area from out of country as one of our global partners. And so you can mark that and turn that in later. We'd love to have you be on the team of that. You know, our global outreach ministry is the largest budget area of all of our ministries, not even including how we're reaching out to, you know, locally to our community, locally to the nations, like reaching out to the migrant community in Oxnard and wanting to reach people right around us through our Treasured Harvest ministry. Some of you may not know this, and some of you do know this, but within 5 miles of the physical building of Encounter, so not you all, because you are the church, all right? The building is not the church, just so we know that. But this building, the physical building of Encounter within 5 miles of our church family where we're located this morning is 60% Hispanic. And among that 60% of Hispanic population, there are 19 different Latin countries represented. Praise God. What an opportunity to reach the nations right among us. If we are going to be intentionally engaging our community and world, we're going to be always growing and reaching the Hispanic population in very intentional ways, but more to that to come. But Encounter, one of the commitments that we have as a church, it's a priority for us, is that in our global outreach and reaching the unreached around the world, that our in our financial part of that, that 50% would be committed to reaching the unreached. And we're currently at 36%, and we're wanting to grow that up in the years to come. And one of the ways, not the only way, but one of the ways that we are senders is by our regular giving in the giving ministry of our church. And when you give to Encounter as part of the generosity ministry, it supports all of the things that God is doing through our church family. And one of those things is our global partners and our global outreach ministry. And so if you're a part of the generosity ministry in any way, thank you for being a part of the senders of our church family through your financial support. 2 Corinthians 9:11 says, "You will be enriched in every way to be generous in every way, which through us will produce thanksgiving to God. For the ministry of this service is not only supplying the needs of the saints, but is also overflowing in many thanksgivings to God." At the end of our time of worship this morning, out on the patio, you're going to find 3 stations, a pray station, a send station, and a go station, where you can get all kinds of information. But at the send station, there's all different ways that you can learn how to be a sending person by supporting our global partners in all different kinds of possibilities. And sometimes that's opening up your home. Sometimes it's opening up your heart. It's having conversations with our global partners where we learn about what God is doing through them. where they get to tell us the good things that God is doing around them and the challenges that they're facing and how we can pray for them more. One of the things I want to share with you this morning, though, is really a God fruit from you all being a sending church family. Because all the way back in 2017, which seems like ancient now, but 2017, not that long ago, 8 years ago, as a church, you committed $10,000 over a 3-year period towards a translation work that was going on to translate the New Testament into the everyday common language, readable language of the Tajik people in Central Asia. And after 8 years, 8 years of painstaking work and all kinds of unforeseen challenges along the way, and at times in an endeavor that seemed impossible, there is now an easily readable translation of the New Testament for the common Tajik person of Central Asia. It's tangible. Yeah, praise the Lord. It's tangible, it's real. Get this, it didn't exist 3 years ago, it exists today because people invested in this translation project financially, and a whole very special group of people invested in learning a language and a culture and understanding the Bible to write this translation. And as a result, I have on loan to me just for today one very special copy of 4,000 of these Bibles that have been printed. Can we praise the Lord this morning? This is one of 4,000 copies. And it's really a story in progress. Because these 4,000 copies weren't printed on American printing presses. Originally, they were going to try to print them in Russia, but then realized it was going to be difficult to get them across the border where they needed to go. And in the end, through a series of God events, a political official in country actually used their own printing presses to print these 4,000 copies, which was an absolute God thing for that to happen. And these Bibles are now finding their ways into the lives of people who are desperately in the need of hope, of salvation through Jesus Christ and encouragement to Him. And other than this one copy, these 4,000 copies are finding their ways into families, into towns, and into villages. One of these copies was given to a shepherd, and the person who gave them this copy of the New Testament came back a few months later to find the shepherd that they had given this New Testament Bible to. And they had to go up farther up the mountain to find this shepherd. And when they found the shepherd, they started talking. And before this person could even begin to ask them about the New Testament that they had been given, the shepherd looked at this person in the eyes and said, "Do you know that Jesus is Lord?" And started talking to them about Jesus. "How then will they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in Him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news." Would you be praying with us as a church family that the Tajik people would become so knowledgeable of the Lord and so many coming to faith that they would turn around and reach other nations who are unreached? Because things like this, they're not really a project. They're really this journey of perseverance, because even as we speak, the Old Testament is being translated so that it can be available as well. And these type of projects and things are what we partner with, along with people who are doing, you know, really church planting movements as people are being reached with the good news of Jesus. And it's a great example of part of what it means to be a sending church family. And what if God were to use us, if God were to use me in a greater way in being a sending person and reaching the nations? What if God were to lead some in this room to open their homes, to loan out their vehicles? or maybe to support one of our global partners financially beyond what we're even supporting them as a church, as things get more and more expensive for them wherever they are in the world. Or maybe being a part of a translation project. All these things are things you can learn about at the send table, send station outside. And you can also check that response card this morning if you want to get more information as well. And in some ways, that response card and all the different things that you can respond with may be one of the greatest offerings you could give this morning. Amy Carmichael, this great missionary to India, once wrote back to her supporters saying, "You are the unseen part of the mission, but no less vital than the hands and feet on the ground." And Encounter family, may I remind you this morning that sending is no less vital than any of the other actions that God wants us to do in reaching the nations for the Lord. You know, the Apostle Paul was supported by the Philippian church, both financially and in prayer. He was also supported by a woman by the name of Phoebe from the church in Rome on his missionary journeys. And so just like the Apostle Paul had senders, had supporters, so our global partners need to have them as well. Which leads us to another vital action, and that is, what if God is leading us to move beyond praying and sending to actually going, because going is the call that transforms lives. And it is absolutely true, and we're celebrating it today, that we're all called to go and share the hope of Christ with the people around us in our life. And we're all called to go into the world. Jesus in Mark 16 said, "Go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation." Because after prayer and after sending comes this next step. And it really is a step of devotion. It's a natural next step whenever there's good news. And that is that someone must go. And God is always calling more people to go. And God may even be tugging on your heart right now that maybe, what if God sent you? Maybe it's long term. Maybe it's short term. On a short term team for a week or 10 days. We actually have a whole team of people that are willing to come alongside people who are thinking that maybe God is leading them to go long-term to reach the unreached around the world. And this team has a lot of people on it that have been in other countries themselves serving the Lord. Because the unreached will not hear unless someone goes, as God is working powerfully through his people. You know, one of the really exciting statistics for us as a church is that when you look at those 14 families that are in that little flyer that you got on your seat when you came in, 9 of those 14 families have someone in them that at one point or another was homegrown in some fashion or another here at Encounter. So hear that again. This is really unusual. You don't know that, but it's unusual in this world that 9 of the 14 global partner families that we support are homegrown, because as a church, they were raised up through our church family, and we praise the Lord for that. And what that means is on some Sunday in the past, they sat in your chair. And they thought, what if, Lord? No. You don't want me to just pray? You don't want me to just send? Me? Really, Lord? You want to send me? Well, what does that mean? And oh, Holy Spirit, would you speak to your people right now? In only the way that you can. Spirit, call us. Lord, call us loudly. And Lord, if there be someone in this room right now that you're leading, no matter where they are in the journey to go long term, to reach the unreached, may you speak to them in the voice that is only yours, in a way that they would know it is from you. And Lord, would you hear, help all of us to hear that call and to work, let you work that wonder in us. Lord, we ask that in your name. And as you're sitting there, before you dismiss that it's not you, just listen to however the Lord leads you in this point of your life to have what he calls beautiful feet, where you take his good news to others. Here in the Ventura region, around our nation, and what if, for maybe a few in here today, someday it'd be to another nation. And as a church, we just want you to know, if God's nudging your heart in that right now, we want to walk alongside you. And it doesn't mean that you'll go tomorrow or that you'll go next year, but it means we have some people that will love you in the journey as God affirms that and defines that for you and builds that in your life. Another way that we can go is on one of our short-term impact teams. And one of the things that we're committed to as a church family is having more and more short-term teams that go and partner with our current global partners on the ground where they are in greater ways. These are sometimes one-week trips, sometimes 10-day trips, just depends on what it's going on. And when we do that, when we are with them, we learn about what God is doing through them and in their part of the world. We pray with them, and we also just serve in any ways that would be helpful for the work that God has called them to and the ministry that God's called them to. And one of the teams that we have right now is our Costa Rica team, and where we work in partnership with Joe and Lori Pent in Costa Rica. They lead the La Montaña Christian Camps, reaching out to students in Costa Rica. I was just there a few months ago. God is doing great things in Costa Rica in the lives of students, and maybe God will lead you to be on that trip a year from now, next spring. It's a work-related project, and if they let me go to work, you know you don't have to have high levels of skills. I see team members out there laughing at me. They know. We also have a team that goes to Honduras and works in partnership with the church partnership we have there and many other ministries. I was able to bless to go on that 2 summers ago with my son, Josh. And what an opportunity to learn what God is doing in another place in the world and to just let God stir our hearts as a father and son together. And maybe God is leading you to be a part of one of the Honduras team in a future year with a spouse or a friend that's sitting next to you or maybe a child or whoever it may be in your life. And some of you in this room I also know are a part of supporting what God is doing through Catalyst. Catalyst is led by Daniel and Lori Hahn, and they are sitting over here this morning. Some of you who are newer to our church family may not know this, but most of you know this already, is that Daniel was one of our former lead pastors, and Lori was on staff as well as our global outreach director and many other things, and they now lead Catalyst International, which really encourages and renews people who are serving all around the world to reach people on a global scale. And so can we just give them a hand this morning since they're not with us today? What if God were to lead you to go? I wonder what it might be. And how are they to believe in him of whom they've never heard? How beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. To go is to follow the Great Commission, and that may mean going across the ocean. That may mean praying for someone going across the ocean. That might mean sending someone across the ocean to bring the great hope of the living Christ and salvation to him to a people who have never heard it before. And on your seat is that response card this morning. Again, I shared it before. I mean it with all my heart that maybe filling that out today and just getting some more information might be one of the greatest offerings you could give today, whether it be to how to pray more, whether it be how to get more information on a short-term team, or maybe even to be sent long-term or short-term, however God leads you. In a little bit, when we come forward to get our prayer cards, just to either side of both these walls is going to be a couple sitting there. And if by that chance this morning, you just sense that maybe the Lord is tugging on your heart to go long term, and you don't even know really what that means yet, these couples will be on either side of these walls, and they just love to pray with you. And by praying with them, it doesn't mean you're going to go tomorrow. Doesn't even mean you'll go next year. It just means that we would come alongside you, and it's your first step of just praying about that and entering the journey that God has you on and turning that in. And then don't forget, we have the stations on the patio as well. We just simply believe that everyone has a role to play when it comes to having a global heart for reaching the nations. And you may not know what your next step is, but just invite God to say, hey, look, God, what if you were to use my prayers in a greater way for one of those groups? Or what if, Lord, I could open up my meals and cook food for people who are in town? Or what if, Lord, I could support one of these global partners in a greater way? And our prayer is simply that we would all see that we have a role to play in God's global story. Revelation 7:9 says, after this I looked and behold, a great multitude that no one could number from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages standing before the throne. And that vision of heaven is not a dream. It is actually a destiny, and it's a promise that we are all invited to be a part of with some vital actions encounter. And so pray as if eternity depended on it, because it does. And it's vital. And send with open arms and open hands, however God could use you, and generous hearts, and go. Maybe short term on one of our short term teams. Maybe something else. Maybe it's long term, but go with the confidence and boldness as God leads you one step at a time. In a moment, I'm going to pray. And while we're worshiping during the first song, I'm just going to invite those who feel led today to come to one of these walls. You'll take one of the cards. Just trust the Lord to match you with the right people group. And our invitation is that you would put that somewhere in your home that'll remind you to pray for them. Pray for God to open up doors for the gospel. Pray for God to send workers. And just for the next 30 days, you can pray longer, but we're asking you for 30 days to pray for one of the over 7,000 unreached people groups of the world. And if God's tugging on your heart, get some prayer with one of the couples that will be to either side. If God's tugging on your heart to potentially, maybe you don't know yet, to go long term or not. And if you're here this morning and you've never met Jesus as your Savior, and you want some more answers about that, we have a prayer team in the back over there. As the service comes to an end, they'd love to pray with you and just talk to you about what it means to know Christ. Why don't you stand with me, and we're going to pray. How beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. Bow your heads with me. Lord, we thank you that we get to have beautiful gospel feet, every one of us, by your amazing grace, to carry your hope and your salvation story to those around us in our lives. Lord, we pray for gospel and beautiful feet in prayer. Lord, we pray that we'd be ascending people in small ways, Lord, each one of us in small ways that add up to huge ways. Lord, we pray that you'd lead us to go to those around us in the Ventura region, to our nation, and even around the world. Lord, we lift up our 14 global partner families and ask you to encourage them today. We ask you to protect them, each one in their own journey. And we thank you for their special part in our church family. And Lord, as we come to these walls right now to get one of these people groups that desperately is in need of you, we ask you to match our hearts with the people group that you want us to be praying for. Lord, since their name's on my mind, we lift up the Kunbi people of India. We pray that that 0.05 of 1%, Lord, would grow exponentially as more and more people come to know you, and gospel movement, church planting movements would be started, Lord, one at a time. Thank you, Jesus. We worship you right now. Amen.